So we're on the Daf Samach in Mishkan. Someone coming out. Okay, midway down the column, 68 in Mishkan. Okay, so it says the Mishnah says Koma Se Yom Kippurim Hamura LaSeder, that all the procedures of Yom Kippur, which we've gone through in the previous Mishnayot, that have said that have to be done in a certain order. If you took something out of order, then that thing is not valid. In other words, if I did the avodah in the wrong order, so then I'm sort of in God's service. And if you look, there's a rashi on Mem Amud Aleph. Let me see the rashi. It turns to Mem Amud Aleph, 48, turn back. If you have an article, you won't have it, but Mem Amud Aleph. So Rashi in the last hour line says, he gives you the whole Seder of the Avodah. Initially, the Kohen Gadol does vidui over the par. He confesses the Avodah over the bull. That for him, this is the Avodah, and for the Kohenim. And then vidui Rishon, v'acharkach mazrilo Seir. Then he takes the lottery with the Seir. V'acharkach mitvadel par vidui Sheni. Then he makes second vidui over the par. Then he shuts the par. Well, his kaf umachta, he brings the kaf, like the ladle and the shovel, into the Kodesh Kodashim of Tina Torah La'esh V'gomer. We're doing the Rashi on Mem Amud Aleph, the third red line. He says, V'notein midam ha'par ala kaporet. Then he applies the dam of the par to the kaporet. V'charkach shokheted a seir. Then he slaughters the goat. V'notein ala kaporet. He puts that blood, sprinkling it towards the kaporet. V'charkach notein midam ha'par ala paroket. Then he sprinkles the par blood towards the parochet, he sprinkles the seer blood towards the parochet, then he mixes the blood and he applies it to the inner mizbeah. All right, let's take a look with the konyaga. What did we say with the two bidui he makes over the par? So do we say that the par, does he make a bidui for the kal yisrael on the par? No, he that's on the seer, right? So he makes a vidui for his family, then he does the chavakonim. Okay, let's look back to the Mishnah on Samachamar Aleph. So the Mishnah says, Koma se Yom Kippur Memorah Seder, that the whole procedure for Yom Kippur, which has to be done a certain procedure, Mitim Masalach Beirul Saklum. If you take something out of order, then it's a nullity. He says, and then the Mishnah gives an example with Samachamar Aleph in the Mishnah, Ekdim Dam HaSeir L'Dam HaPar. If, again, he's supposed to sprinkle the blood of the par first, and then the blood of the seir, then the blood of the goat. Let's say he did it the opposite order. He sprinkled the goat blood before the par blood. The iman shlo gamar, that would be an example. So he says, yatzur v'yazemi damasir lafar damapar. So then he should go back. In other words, so he did seir, and he did par. So then go back and do seir again, because the seir that did out of order, that's not valid. That doesn't count, right? Now, in the Havamina, we think that the Mishnah is talking about the sprinkling of the blood in the Kodesh Kodashim, but the blood is going, the Gemara is going to say that can't be the case, because the Gemara learns that if the Seir was slaughtered before the blood of the par was sprinkled, then that's not a valid slaughter, or that Seir is not eligible for the Avodah. So the Gemara is going to learn that we don't know yet, but it's talking about in the Kodesh, that he's sprinkling the blood towards the Paroch that he took it out of order. Okay. Then the Gemara says, we're near the small hay in the Mishnah. Let's say before he finished the applications of blood, bifnim. So so this could be even in the Kodesh Kodashim. So nishpach adam.
Excuse me, we can't see you. Could you move a drop? Sure. Thank you.
Okay, is this better?
Much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. So... So it says, V'iman shel gemara matanot shebifnim, if before he finished, in other words, let's say he's sprinkling the blood towards the Aron. So he does 8 drops of blood towards the Aron. He does par blood, then he does seer blood. But V'iman shel gemara matanot shebifnim, nishpach adam. Let's say he spills the whole bowl. So in other words, he's in the middle of sprinkling the blood. He did 4 drops, and now the whole bowl is spilled. V'yavidam acher, v'yazur betchilami bifnim. So he'll bring other blood, meaning he'll have to shut the new animal, and then he'll go in and then begin sprinkling again. We'll say again what? No. So did you do this already or not?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you're jumping the gun with this, but the Tanakhama holds that you do all 8. You do all 8. Start from scratch. Similarly, in the Heichal, when with the drops of blood towards the parocha, they're all, in other words, separate, identifiable units. So if he messed up in the middle of the unit, he'll go back to the beginning of that unit, he'll be good. I think this is what you were speaking about, Michael. Reb Lazar, Reb Shimon, Reb Lazar, Reb Shimon say, right. In other words, if you did four drops, so you come back, you'll do another four drops. You'll go it that way. Okay. Any questions, comments, or thoughts on the Mishnah? Everybody good? All right. Let me go on.
If you don't know how many drops, you have to go back and do eight, I assume.
No. In other words, you see it on the floor. How can you not know how many drops there are? It's right there on the floor.
But let's say the drops milled together or something.
Well, anyway, according to the Tanakh Kama, you begin from drop one anyway. The only question would be according to Reb Lazar or Reb Shimon. So I would assume you would begin from the last dot. Right, he's been counting also. Right. But assuming the way you have for him that he forgot the count and he can't count the drops of blood, I would assume that he would begin from like the drop
from
of blood.
From what he knew. From
the
what
last
he knew.
Last certain blood that he began.
Vadai drop, okay.
All right, let's take a look. Okay, now in the Gemara, we're 10 lines to the bottom on Samach Amud Aleph. Okay, so now we're learning a Braisa. So the Braisa is addressing the same issue that our Mishnah had. So Tanu Rabbanan, so the first halakha on the Braisa is the same as the halakha on the Mishnah, that if you did something out of proper order, it doesn't count. That we got. So now, but now the Braisa qualifies it. Amar Reb Yehuda, Eimatai, that's only if you did a big day levan b'tin. If you did it, in other words, the Kohen Gadol, and sometimes for some avodah he wears a big day zahav, and sometimes he wears a big day levan. The big day levan is when he's going into the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kadashim. So according now the way Rashi understands the sugya, if it was something that related to the big day levan b'tin, something related to the avodah in the Kodesh Kadashim is the way Rashi learns. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, the order is only extremely important for the avodah that's done in the Kodesh Kadashim. So what do you do in the Kodesh Kadashim? There's only three things you do in the Kodesh Kadashim. You have the Dam Par, Dam Seir, and the Ketoret. And those are the big broad brushes. I mean, but so if one of those you did out of proper order, then in Achinami it wouldn't count. But anything else, you're okay. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Amatav is Mbarman Asimid Levam Yiftim. Avavavaran Simid Levam Nibachot. But if you did a big day lavan b'chutz, the way Rashi understands it, means even if it's avoda related to the kodesh, that also counts as b'chutz. Because b'fnim, let's see the Rashi. If you look at the Rashi, the first Rashi on the Gemara, it's three lines above where it gets one. B'fnim, b'tnai b'fnim. Rashi says it means the kodesh kodashim. So the Rambam learns differently. The Rambam learns it means that, like b'fnim pshuto k'mash ba'o. But we'll go with Rashi's shot. So Rashi holds that according to the Tanna Reb Yehuda, if you messed up the order in the Kodesh, and then the Kodesh, you have other applications of blood, other applications of blood, and there's also Ketoret that's offered on the Mizbach Zahav. So if you mess up the order there, it's Nishka Feralach, as we would say in Yiddish. So I'm Rabbi Yehuda, Eimat HaGorman HaSmedevim, V'al Tvarman HaGorman HaKlitz, Nekim HaSel HaVeiro, Lasha Sasui. So you did it, it's like, you know. Then Reb Nechemi Omer, five lines to the bottom, Reb Nechemi Omer, it's a wider, it casts a wider net. If the Kohen Gadol is wearing the big day lavan, he's wearing those four linen garments, so whether he's doing the avodah in the Kodesh or even the avodah in the Azara. In other words, even though he's wearing big day lavan, some avodah he still does in the Azara. So anything with that, if the order is, you know, out of sequence, then that item would not count. That item wouldn't count. So Rashi, look at the Rashi, three lines above where it gets wide downstairs. Big Lavan Mibachot, he on Hagralam, like he does the lottery over the two goats. And then the Vidui, the confession over the par, and also the Vidui over the Seir, which feeds that Shirayim, and you're pouring the Shirayim, the blood, into the base of the Mizbeach. The whole Matnaota Parochet of Mizbachatahav, and the applications towards the Parochet and the and on the golden altar, the inner altar, if you did it out of sequence, in this is on the early one. This is within Rabbi Yehuda. Or I took this out. I didn't say in the right order. I should have said it I should have said this last year earlier, but the but if you if okay, but let me see back on the Gemara. He says about the bar manasim, but if it's big day zahav, it's water under the bridge. And Rashi says big day zahav b'chutz, so an elo be'el ha'am, like when he's bringing his aisle, he brings and it's an aisle for the am. If he takes if he took the top and the matta out from the Kodesh Kadosh before the aisle or the aisle am, ima akhen lava plipsul. Okay, let me just repeat again. So we said in the Mishnah and we said in the Brisa that there, if you do things out of sequence, the avodah on Yom Kippur, so the item that you do out of sequence doesn't count, and then you're going to have to do it back in sequence. So, but then the Brisa we learned that it's qualified. So it's qualified according to all the Tanaim. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the way Rashi understands Rabbi Yehuda, that only applies to the avoda that the Kohen Gadol does the Levan, the Kodesh Kadashim, which we said is just three items: sprinkling the blood of the par, sprinkling the blood of the seir, and offering the ketoret. And you could say also removing the kaf and machta later on. And also that would be something that has to be in the right order. But but anything else is not makif. Then according to Rabbi Nechemia, it applies to anything the Big Day Levan Mibachut, which the way Rashi understands it is Big Day Levan, if you did it in the Kodesh or you did it in the Azara, then it's Ma'akev. But Big Day Zahav is not Ma'akev. Okay, those are the two sheets that we learned. Let me just do a few more lines and I'll pause. Okay, now, so three lines from the bottom on Samach Amar Aleph, 68, three lines from the bottom. So Amar Rav Yochanan, that's the end of the price. So Amar Rav Yochanan is saying Mikraf Adarshu. Rav Yochanan says that both of them, i.e. Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah, they darshan the same pasuk. He says, and what's the pasuk? In this pasuk, I'll read the whole pasuk. It's this pasuk is at the end of Parshas Akrimot. If you have a chumash in front of you, it's page 644. So it says the last pasuk that we lain at the Kriyas Torah on Yom Kippur for the first Sefer Torah. But Kazod Lachem Lefukat Olam, this will be for you an eternal decree. He says, bring atonement upon the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. Okay, now when it says chukah, so Chazal teaches it's ma'ake, but the Torah says chukah, that's like a code word that you have to do it exactly the way it is. So the question is, what is this pasuk referring to? Whatever the pasuk is referring to has to be done exactly the way the Torah sets forth. When Samach Hamad Aleph, two lines from the bottom, 68, two lines from the bottom. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hashem Mikra Kadarshu, Baitazot Lacham, Hukat Olam, and here you have dot, 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 Achat Bashanah. It's the Hukat Olam, Lachav, Pabin Israel, and Kol Katsam, Achat Bashanah. This will be an eternal statute, eternal law, eternal decree. Achat Bashanah, once a year. So turn. What for? Well, we're going to see. Just 1 minute, we'll look at what the Gemara says, okay? So, the top line on Samachon Beis, Rabbi Yehuda Savar, but Kom Shemekapin Bo Pamachat Bashana. So, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Pasuk is referring to the Avoda you do in the Kodesh Kadashim once a year. In other words, the place that you get Kapara from once a year. There's only once a year Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh Kadashim to bring Kapara for Klal Yisrael. So according to Tan Rabbi Yehuda, that's what the Pasuk is saying is a hukah. That has to be done exactly the way the Torah sets forth. He says on the second line, Rabbi Nechemiah Savar, Devarim Shamit Kaprim Bahem Bamachat Bashana. Rabbi Yehuda Nechemiah says, look, it's all items that are unique to Yom Kippur. That's what it's talking about. The Avodah that's unique to Yom Kippur, i.e., let's look at the Rashi, Rabbi Kaprim Bahem Bashana. He says, 1 minute. All right, but he means that if it's Big Day Lavan and you're doing the vote with Big Day Lavan, then that's what's Ma'akev, according to Reb Nechemiah. So the Gemara says, asks a question against this whole explanation of Machloket on the third line on Samach Amadeus. How could that be Rabbi Yehuda's argument? It doesn't say anything about Machlok in the Pasuk. It says, Achat Hashan, Al-Kapar Ben Israel. It doesn't say it's halui with this machom, even though in Achinami the Kohen Gadol only goes there once a year. So Ella had a ton of Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara revised it means Rabbi Yochanan, or we didn't understand Rabbi Yochanan, or Rabbi Yochanan is revising his explanation. Ella had a ton of Rabbi Yehuda. Tiv zot, tiv achad. So there are two miutim in the pasuk. By tazot lachem, in other words, that this should be for you. In other words, a certain law, this and not that. Zot Hashem, he says, and he says, Achat. Chad l'mi'ute b'gdei lavan mi'bachotz. So one is, in other words, whatever is excluded is not subject to this law of chukah. If it's subject to the law of chukah, it has to be done in sequence. So he says, Chad l'mi'ute b'gdei lavan mi'bachotz. So one, according to Tan Rabbi Huda, is to exclude Big Day Laban Bechutz, which Rashi understands, Big Day Laban outside the Kodesh Kedashim. So that's one exclusion. Big Day Zahav, one to exclude the Avoda with the Big Day Zahav. So everything's excluded except for the Big Day Laban and the Kodesh Kedashim, according to Tan Rabbi Huda. Reb Nechemiah learns, Big Day Zahav, one is to exclude the Big Day Zahav, all the Avoda. In other words, he holds all the Big Day Laban, that's Ma'ake, you've got to get that in the right order. But what's excluded is the Big Day Zahav, that everybody agrees is excluded. B'chad l'mi'uti shirayim d'lo ma'akri. And once excluded, shirayim are not ma'akid. Shirayim is when he pours out the blood, even the blood from the par and the seir, which are kato pniyot. So the way Rashi takes it, let's look at Rashi, second arrow line. L'mi'uti shirayim. Shvichat shirayim d'lo ma'akri davar ma'ukhar lahem imikdimu lahem. If I took it out of sequence, the pouring out of the shirayim. So that's the way Rashi has it here, though we'll come back to it. But the Gemara seems to understand it in a larger fashion, at least initially, that the shirayim lo ma'akri teach me that the shirayim are ma'akri b'chval. If you didn't even pour out the shirayim, it's not ma'akri, the avoda. Now, let me just, two more lines, I'll try to take a pause. Rabbi Huda, the Tan Rabbi Huda responds to Rabbi Nechemiah, ma'akve. If the avoda is ma'akev, if the avoda of Big Day Laban is ma'akev, then the shirayim should also be ma'akev. Be lo ma'akev. And if the avoda is, in other words, it goes and it rises and falls with the avoda of Big Day Laban. So if you hold that the avoda, you Rabbi Nechemiah hold the avoda of Big Day Laban ma'akev, which you do, then the shirayim should be ma'akev. It shouldn't be an excluded. And if you hold not, then you hold like me, then it's not ma'akev, but you can't, you know, parse it the way you have. All right, let me pause for 60 seconds because I have been going on a little bit. Okay, so any questions, comments, or thoughts so far? Okay, what's up?
Yeah,
no, he'd be the only one to know. What can I tell you? It's known only to the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. I don't have an answer to that. Okay. Now, let me just mention what we said. So the basic idea, let me just summarize it. Let me just summarize also for you. So we said that the Mishnah says that if you do the Avoda outside the right sequence, then it falls by the wayside. That's the Yisod we said in the Mishnah. And we learned Machlo Ketanayim, what Avoda does that apply to? It does not apply to all the Avoda on Kippur. So according to Rabbi Huda, it only applies to the avoda of Big Day Laban Bifnim. In other words, the avoda of the Tzkun Gadol, the Big Day Laban Bifnim, which we said is just three things. It's just the part, the blood of the par, the blood of the seir, and the Torah, the kaf mak of the Torah, and then he rules the kaf mak till later on. Those things would have to be done in the right sequence, otherwise it's not. And according to Tanur of Nechemiah, it applies to all the avoda he does with Big Day Laban, whether he does the avoda of Big Day Laban in the Kodesh, or the Kodesh Kodashim, or the Azara, because he does the avoda with the Azara. But that was machlokes. So the Gemara said, what's the reasons for them? So Rabbi Yochanan quoted a pasuk. The pasuk was the last pasuk in the parsha with the avoda on Yom Kippur. So the key words there are chukah. Chukah means it has to be done exactly the way it is. Whatever the chukah applies to, it has to be done exactly the way it's prescribed. But there's exclusions in the pasuk to what it does not apply to. So it applies. So it says this and not that, and then it says atah bashana. So they each understand the tumiutim in a different way. So Rabbi Huda says zot is one is excluding the big day laban mibachot. One was only the big day laban mibachim. The other is excluding the big day zahav. According to the time of Rabbi Huda, and according to Rabbi Nechemiah, one is to exclude the Big Day Zahav, and one is to be my the Shirayim that are not Ma'akev. Okay? I'm going to move on unless anybody's got any questions, comments, or thoughts. Okay. So on Samach Amav Beis,
logically, I'd say if you said this, everything that Foreign Gadol does at a quote, it would make more sense that anything goes in the French Kedashim, right? That's one.
De Lavan.
Huh?
De Lavan?
No, Lavan, he wears all the
time. Yeah, so the big day Zahav, he starts, remember, he starts off the day with big day Zahav.
I'm saying, but only on Yom Kippur he wears big day Zahav.
No, he wears the whole year.
He wears
the whole year. He dove back, so it's white.
In other words, the Kohen Gadol only wears the Big Day Lavan on Yom Kippur. The Kohen Gadol only wears Big Day Lavan on Yom Kippur. But he normally wears Big Day Zav. Okay. All right, let's see further in the Gemara. Now the Gemara is bringing a Raya that according to Tana Reb Yehuda, that the only thing is Ma'akev is the Avodah is done in the Kodesh Kedashim with Big Day Lavan. He says, "Keep the tongue." Like we learn in the Brisa, the chilami compared to kodesh. Now, this pasuk. Let me get the context and finish. Thank you. Okay, it's like Plymouth Rock. Okay, the chilami compared to kodesh. They don't believe it was there. The creed was that you're hakayin. So he says he's finished atoning for the sanctuary, the tent of meeting, and the altar. It means he's applied all the blood in the kodesh kedashim and the heichal and the mizbeah. Then he'll offer the Seir HaChai, the Chilami Kaper HaKodesh. So, the Chilami Kaper HaKodesh, Im Kiper Kila, Im Lo Kiper Lo Kila, Divrei Rabbi Kiva. So, Rabbi Kiva says that if he's Kiper means he brought atonement, but if he applied the blood the way he should, then he's finished his work, then he's done with the Avoda there. Im Lo Kiper Lo Kila, Divrei Rabbi Kiva. That's where Rabbi Kiva darshes the Pasuk. Now, we'll see, we don't know this yet, but the Gemara is going to explain, 1 minute. That he's only talking about the Ikar Matano, not the Shvichat Shirayim, but we don't know this yet. Amar lo Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Huda says him, and that's what we're looking for to clarify the sheet of the Tana Rabbi Huda. Amar lo Rabbi Huda, Neiman lo Nomar, in Kila Kiper, Vim lo Kipa, lo Kila lo Kiper. Why don't we darshan the Pasuk the other way around, which is hard to understand what the distinction would be right now. He says, why don't we say in Kila Kiper, that if he finished applying all the blood the way he should, then he brings atonement. If he left off one of the applications of blood, he hasn't done anything. Okay, so it sounds like a common jump between both of them. One is kila kiper, one is kiper kila. So, but they're both saying you have to do all the blood applications appropriately. The mean of my benai, and we said what we were discussing is brisa. We said what's the difference between the two shitot? Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shuben Levi, Chadamar Mashu Dorshin Itabinai. One says there really is no difference; it's just how they darshan the pasuk. But they're really saying the same thing. But that's not the part we're interested in. The Chadamar Shirai Ma'akve Itabinaiyum. One says no; the nafkamina between the two of them is whether Shirai or Ma'akve. According to Tana Rabbi Kiva, it means that the Chilami compared to Kodesh in Kiper Kila. If he applied the applications of blood to the Mizbeach and to the sprinkling, then he's finished. In other words, he's good. In other words, he brings atonement. But according to Rabbi Huda, he says, in kila kiper, im lo kila lo kiper. If he finished everything that he should do, including Shvichat Shirayim, then he brings the atonement. So according to that Tzad, the Tzad of Rabbi Yehuda clearly holds that Shvichat Shirayim is Ma'akev. Now, one second. All right. Now, let me just a little further. 1 second. Now, the Gemara says, Now, did Rabbi Yochanan, now going back to the early pshat that we gave above, the revised pshat with Rabbi Yochanan, line 4 was that Rabbi Nechemiah holds that Shirayim are not ma'akev. The Tana Rabbi Nechemiah holds that Shirayim are not ma'akev. So, Miyamar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, Ba'amar Rabbi Yochanan said, Tana Rabbi Nechemiah, that Rabbi Nechemiah taught, Kidibri Omer Shirayim ma'akev. So, here, Rabbi Yochanan says just the opposite of what he said before. Above, he said that the Shirayim are not Ma'akev within the Shita of the Tana Reb Nechemiah. And here he says that Reb Nechemiah holds they are Ma'akev. So the Gemara leaves the Kasha. So this Kasha means it's a difficulty, but you could have an answer for it. So I saw in the Masechta they quoted the Siach Yitzchak, the potential answer that we could give is that when Rabbi Yochanan said that Reb Nechemiah says it's not Ma'akev, he means the sequence of it. In other words, like the Gemara conflated the two about Shirayim Ma'akev.
It's really two separate ideas. One is the sequencing for the Shirayim, and the other is when did the Shirayim report into the Mizbeach at all. Those are the two. So the Gemara conflated both of them, the Shirayim and Ma'akev. So the Siach Yitzchak wants to say we could answer up for Rabbi Yochanan that in Achinami, Rabbi Nechemiah holds that the sequencing is not Ma'akev, but he holds that it has to be done. It has to be done. That would be an answer for the Gemara. All right? Okay, any questions, comments, thoughts, anything I did so far? What's up, Fern?
I understand V'chila Kiper. Yeah. I don't understand it the other way around.
Okay,
can you explain
so which one
that again?
Which one? Do
before you get to the Shirayim, before that's even an Inyan at all.
Right, but which is the one you do understand?
Kiper Rabbi Yehuda.
That no, if you're finishing, you get
no. Say the words again. Kila Kiper or Kiper Kila?
I understand Kila Kiper. I don't understand Kiper Kila.
Okay. So the first one you don't have. In other words, the first line of the Brisa says, V'chilami kaper akodesh, so im kiper kilo. So in other words, he's saying that if you finished applying the blood, if you applied all the blood appropriately and brought atonement by applying the blood, then kilo, then you finished the work. So it says,
what is that teaching me? Why is that not pshita? That seems pretty pashut.
Well, that's a different question. Why the Torah has to say v'chilami kaper kodesh? But one second.
Right.
So he says, l'chora, he's saying that before he can offer the seir hachai, but before he goes to the azazel, he has to finish the avoda with the kodesh from the kodesh kadashim. That's what the pasuk is teaching me. In other words, he's got to finish.
That's
up.
The fila kiper. That's the one I understood to begin with.
They're both similar. In other words, when it's v'chilami kaper kodesh, can either be that he finished the avoda inside the base of mikdash, or the kiper kila. He once he's applied all the blood, then he's finished. Once, in other words, it's six and one half dozen of the other. But it's in other words. Let's see again in the Gemara in the Brisa. Okay. V'chilami kaper im kiper kila. In other words, if he's applied the blood appropriately, then he's finished. Then he's finished. That's the first way. If he applied the blood appropriately, he's finished.
But why do if they give me the rules for how to apply it, I know I'm finished. In other words, they're telling me how to apply it.
Again, I think you're getting into the question of the Gemara. The Gemara says, what's the nafkamina between the two shitot? So the first shot is, there's no difference. It's just mashmat dorshin. How you dorshin the pasuk? How I understand the pasuk? Is the pasuk teaching me that once you've done applying the blood, you've finished? Or once that or kila kiper is the once he's finished doing all the blood, then he brings atonement. Then he brings atonement. I guess you could say like this: the chilami kaper kodesh can mean he finished applying the blood. In other words, in kiper kila, kiper can mean applying the blood. Or I could say b'chila, he finished applying the application of blood and he brought atonement.
That's the one I understand. But okay, thank you.
Okay, all right, let me go further in the Gemara. Now, all right, we're 10 lines from the bottom and we have to rush a little bit now. Okay, now, so Amar Reb Chanina, now Reb Chanina says, Ktor shechafna kodem shchit so shel par, so Reb Chanina is applying the klal in our Mishnah. Now, the chafina is clearly something that was done in the Kodesh Kodashim that we know. There, everybody agrees the sequence is essential. Everybody agrees the sequence is essential. But the order is, first he shechs the par, then he does the chafina with the ketoret, then he goes out and he gets the blood and goes back in. So Amar Reb Chanina, ketor shechafna kodem shchit so shel par. If he did the chafina is when he takes the handful of Torah, and he managed it with, that was Michael's daf on Sunday. He says, lo asav lo klum. So he hasn't done anything. In other words, he took it out of sequence. Come on, so who is that going like? So the Gemara says, the lo Rebbe Yehuda. Apparently, we think that does not go like the Tana Rebbe Yehuda. Why? The Rebbe Yehuda amar ki ktiva chukka b'dvar manasim b'dilavan b'bifnim hu d'chiva. So the shechita par is not, in the words, even though he's doing the shechita par with the big day Laban, and even though the shechita of the par will relate to a voter, he will do in the Kodesh Kodashim, but the Tana, Rabbi Huda doesn't consider that, you know, that the sequence between the shechita of the par and the chafina to be essential, because shechita of the par is outside the radar. We said only thing the bar mishnah is there. So apparently does not go like part of Rabbi Yehuda, we think. So the Gemara says, no, I feel the same Rabbi Yehuda. You could even argue that this does go according to Tan Rabbi Yehuda, Surah Kanim Kipnim Dami, that when the Tan Rabbi Yehuda said, the only thing is Ma'akev, is Bigdi Laban Bifnim, the Bigdi Laban that you do in the Kodesh Kadashim, but that which is a Tzorach Avoda for the Bigdi Laban Bifnim, i.e. the Shechit of the Par, I can't think of the blood of the Par, it's by Shech the Par, that also gets drawn in with his Klal. So even though that Shechit is done in Yazara, and it's outside the Kodesh Kadashim, according to the Tana Rebbe Yehuda, but since the blood relates to Avoda he will do in the Kodesh Kadashim, I could argue that indeed the Brayisa could follow him. All right, now with 3 lines to the bottom on Samath Amud Beis. Okay, Tanan, Iman Shlul Gemara Ma Tanot Shibifnim Nishpach Adam. Now we said, let's say the Kohen Gadol is doing the Avoda with the Matanot Shibifnim. In other words, he's spilling the blood towards the Aron, the eight drops of blood, and Nishpach Adam, and then the blood got spilled. Yavi Dam Acher, he should bring other blood. The Asur V'Yazeb B'Tchilo B'Mifnim. So the way, again, the sequence is you shech the par, you bring the ketoret, then you apply the blood. Shech the par, bring the ketoret, then sprinkle the blood. So the Mishnah says that if he spilled the blood before he spilled the blood before he completed it. So the Gemara says, then the Mishnah says he's going to shech another par and bring new blood in. But the Gemara is bothered, but you're mishana the sequence, because you should have shechit the par, then the ketoret, and then the sprinkling of the blood. So if you're going to, in other words, you're up to the sprinkling of blood, you spill the blood all over the floor. Okay, somebody's going to clean it up. But besides that, you need the par. You check another par, you bring the blood in. But that's not in the order, because you should check the par, then bring the ketoret, and then sprinkle the blood. So if it's true that everything has to be done in the sequence, so the Talmud minister should say that he goes back, he shechs the par, then he does the chafina with the ketoret, and then he sprinkles the blood. So the Gemara says, the top line on some of the Amar Aleph, the ketoret lo kamayri. In Achinami, that's exactly what he has to do. In other words, he has to shech the par, he has to bring the ketoret again, and then he has to do the sprinkling of the blood. Right, the ketoret has to be after shechita, and the sprinkling has to be after the ketoret. He says, but ketoret lo kamayri on the top line of Rashi, liu vadas reflect your ketoret aseret afar shechita parzeh. But he says, but the Tana is busy talking about animals, so that's the way he's using his reference. But in Achinami, you'd have to bring another ketoret. All right, the top line on Samachal Amarala, Amar Ula, Seir Shishkato Kodam Matan Demo Shapar Lo Asavlo Tom. So Ula says Allah that if I shech the seir before the blood of the par has been sprinkled, lo asavlo klum. So normally, again, you shech the par, you bring the torah, then you bring in the blood, you sprinkle on in the inner Kodesh Kadashim, then you shech the seir, and then you go and sprinkle that. So if, though, you shech the seir before the blood of the par has been applied, so the seir is invalid, because you jump the gun on shechting the seir. So the Gemara asks a question from our Mishnah, which the Gemara is going to resolve. Tanan, but in our Mishnah we learn, Hitim Dama Seir Dama Par. The Mishnah said that if we think it means you sprinkle the seer blood, the goat blood, before the Dama Par, Yazur Vyazami Dama Seir Par Dama Par. So we think it means you sprinkle the seer blood in the Kodesh Kadashim, then you'll sprinkle the par blood, then you'll go back and sprinkle the seer blood. But we just said that you can't check the seer before you sprinkle the par. If you shech the seer before you sprinkle with the blood from the par, then the whole animal is not valid. You have to have another animal. And yet, from the Mishnah, it sounds like that you'll hold on to the blood. Then you do the blood of the par, and then it does not work out well according to Ula. Then Ita Yisrael Bishchomi violate. If Ula is correct, so the Tana Mishnah should say, and then he goes back and shechs a new seer and brings that blood. So Tirgama Ula Banot Shebehechal. So Ula explained the Mishnah. The Mishnah is not referring to sprinkling the blood in the Kodesh Kadashim. The Mishnah is talking about sprinkling the blood towards the Parochet in the Kodesh. There, at that point, so in other words, at that point, you're good. In other words, you spill the blood. In Akhenam, you'll have to shecht another animal, but the seer, in other words, is already being shechted after the blood of the par has already been sprinkled. That's the way we're thinking. In other words,
not talking about the Kodesh Kodesh.
Right, right. You know, let me Tim Tamasir the Tamapar. Not that. He says, yeah, Hikdim Damasir, the Damapar, yeah, Serbia Zemi Damasir, right. So all the Mishnah is saying is if in the Kodesh, when you were sprinkling towards the Parocha, you sprinkled Seir blood before Par blood. So then you'll do Par and then you'll do Seir again. That's all the Mishnah is saying. So it doesn't in any way invalidate Ula's Klal, which is if the Seir was shepherded before the Par blood was sprinkled, but before the Par blood was sprinkled in the Kodesh Kadashim, then the Shechit of the Seir is not valid. That doesn't enter the equation because we're talking about something else. Okay? Now, the Gemara says, the Chinamor of Afis Mano Shvehechal. Rav Afis also says that our mission is talking about the Matana and the Hechal. Okay, let me just do a few pieces. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Okay, and now on Shabbat, I think we're at 6:55 on Shabbos, so check out your schedule, okay? 6:55, I hope to see everybody on Shabbos. Okay, now, let me just do a few pieces, and this will be it. Let's see what we have here. This is sort of interesting. Okay, he has a person who missed davening Shabbos Mincha should make up the missing tefillah by reciting Maariv Amidah twice. So if accidentally I left out davening on Shabbos Mincha, I'm going to daven two Maarivs on Motzei Shabbat. If he then forgot to include Havdalah in either Shmona Esrei, this would not obligate him to repeat Shmona Esrei. However, if he ate before he recited Havdalah, this triggers an obligation to repeat Shmona Esrei. Now, it means this is the call in general. In other words, if I'm davening Motzei Shabbat and I forget to put in a Tachon Atanu, so I'm still okay. But if, in addition to that, I eat before Havdalah, then I have to daven Shmona Esrei again. In other words, the Tachon is to say that paragraph of Shmona Esrei. But if I slipped up on that and then I ate, so I'm like really like permissioning it with the Havdalah, then I have to go back. So now, when he reads Shmona Esrei, repeats Shmona Esrei, does he have to recite to make up Amidah Tashlumin as well or not? Maybe this is getting a little complicated, but it means like, right, it means like this. He left out Mincha. So now, he davens two tefillot at Maariv. The first tefillah he does is Maariv tefillah, and the second tefillah he does is the Mincha replacement. But they're both weekday tefillot. He should have put a Tachon Atanu in the first tefillah. He didn't do that. But now, so even though he didn't do that, still he's okay because makes Havdalah. But now he eats a sandwich between the two Shmona Esreis and Havdalah. So now he's got to go back and repeat Shmona Esrei. So now does he also have to repeat the Tashlumin? That's the thing. He's going to relate it to the Avod and the Korbano. What?
He can't do a Tashlumin.
No. It means that if the Tashlumin, if he wasn't go to the Tashlumin, then he still has to do Tashlumin. Right. In other words, I left that mitzvah. I have to daven on Tashlumin. So we did one, but if that's a nullity, then he has to do it on Tashlumin. So on the one hand, one could say, okay, well, on the 1 minute.
Number three.
Right. Does he have to do number four also? Okay. On the one hand, one could say that the makeup tefillah should be repeated because once the obligatory tefillah is disqualified, it emerges that the makeup tefillah precedes the obligatory tefillah, which is not allowed. You're not allowed to do tefillah Tashlumin for the tefillah Chovah. So his tefillah klova, that's an X through it. So now he's got his tefillah. If I say he's got his tefillah tashlumin, the tashlumin is preceding his tefillah klova now, and I'm not allowed to do that. On the other hand, one could argue it's unnecessary to repeat make up tefillah because at the time it was recited correctly, and he had not eaten anything for reciting Havdalah, there would not have been an obligation to repeat Shmona Esrei. So on the one hand, when he did the tefillah tashlumin, everything was looking good with it, and then a later fact came in that may have undermined. We'll see. So Rabbi Chesel Kofli suggests this issue could be resolved from our Gemara. Our Gemara rules that if the Kohen Gadol followed the correct order of taking the incense while the blood of the bull was extant, and then the blood spilled, necessitating the slaughter of a second bull, the incense must be taken again. So it means, so this is what we're saying. So in other words, let's say he spills the blood. In other words, he spilled the blood of the par in the Kodesh Kadashim. So he said he's got to shut down the par, but then he's got to bring the ketoret again. So he says the reason is that although at the time the incense was taken, it was done according to the correct procedure, nonetheless, based on the present circumstance, it turns out the ketoret was taken out of order. So I did the ketoret. When I brought the ketoret, it was right. But now the par is coming to be a nullity. So now the ketoret is out of sequence.
He says the reason is that although the, at the time the incense was taken, it was done according to Christmas, nonetheless, based on the present circumstances, the Torah was taken out of order. Similarly, even though when initially recited, he recited the makeup tefillah was recited correctly, nonetheless, at this point, it would emerge that it is preceding the obligatory tefillah and therefore must be repeated, according to this line of argument. Rav Parkley adds that to be cautious, one should stipulate that if, in fact, he's not obligated to repeat the makeup tefillah, it should count as a voluntary tefillah, tefillah nadava. So in other words, he said, this Rav Parkley is saying you need to repeat both Shmona Esrei, your fourth one. But before you do tefillah number four, you should stipulate, if I'm not obligated, it should be a tefillah nadava. The Mishnah Berurah, however, writes that it's not necessary to repeat the makeup tefillah because it was originally recited correctly. So Mishnah Berurah cuts the other way. This Rav Parkley wanted to argue that way. Okay, I think that's it for tonight. I hope to see everybody in Shabbat. Let me just end the recording. 1 minute.